Well, we're very thankful to have the opportunity to be here in Guthrie once again. I appreciate Brother Phillips' expression and others expressed to me the burden that they were carrying for this meeting. And you know that I believe that that's where the Lord will be faithful to come down and minister to us. We call these meetings revival meetings. I wonder how much you've thought about that, revival. Have you ever been to a revival meeting and not been revived? Is that a fair question? I have been to meetings and the Lord met me and revived my spirit and renewed my vision and gave me grace and dealt with me in certain areas. And I would probably have to confess that there have probably been some times it was not quite the same. There have been other times that I have been by myself and I was not sitting in the pews and the Lord revived me. And the Lord renewed me and He challenged me and He encouraged me and He renewed my vision. He lifted me up when I had felt maybe a little bit forsaken or maybe I had felt like I had failed the Lord. But there's something that is in common about revival. Whether it's in here, in the within these four walls that it happens, or whether you are by yourself, and the common denominator is the presence of the Lord. And I have been very aware, and just the Lord has been talking my heart about how necessary and important it is that we be in the presence of the Lord. Tonight, it really does not matter who the minister is. It really doesn't matter if you went out and brought in one of the best motivational speakers. It's not going to bring revival unless we come into the presence of the Lord. My prayer has been, I would like to see revival start in Guthrie, Oklahoma. And I mean a real revival. I would like to see souls saved and I would like to see people healed. And I would like to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. I would like there to see a greater movement in a going out in the work of God. I would like to see the church on fire for God in a greater way. I appreciate the fire. I appreciate what's there. But I desire to see the Lord fan those flames. But the something that we need tonight more than anything else is the presence of God. And I believe this evening that if we will open up our hearts, that the Lord will not fail us. But revival does not start collectively. Revival starts individually. Revival starts with us opening up our hearts and saying, Lord, I need You to come in and stir in my life. Because why do we need revival? Do saints need revival? Have you ever questioned about why we need revival? Because we do. It's because life has a way, with best of intentions, life has a way of trying to, the enemy, through life and through the busyness and cares of this world, it has a way of just trying to settle us down and take still our joy in the Lord. To try to minimize and instill the vision that we have of what it means, number one, to walk with God individually. And number two, what it means to work for God as a people of God. And through time we have, we're so busy, our attention is so focused on this and that and the other, and those things are not wrong. But it's the reason why we need revival, for the Lord to renew that purpose and that dedication in our life to Him. Amen. There are also times that we all face times of loneliness because of the battles and the trials that life brings. And if you are experiencing tonight pain, sickness, grief. Do you know the Lord has a desire to come in and renew and revive our spirits? Because just because we love the Lord tonight, it does not make us exempt from the pain that life brings. Just because we love God and are saved does not mean that everybody's going to do everything we want and everything's going to go the way that we would like it to. And those are the things that bring burdens to our life. And during those times, if we can recognize that the Lord wants to come in and renew within us the joy of the Lord. He wants to re-inspire. If your zeal is not what it used to be, the Lord wants to renew that zeal tonight. Yes. There are times that you can be disappointed in other people. And after a while, you need revival. There are times that you can be disappointed in yourself. And what is the option? Are we going to throw up our hands and walk away? Or will we be able to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to walk away, but I know I need a visitation from the Lord. Do you know that's why Jesus came? We sang the song, Mighty to Save, but it was also mighty to do something else. What was it? Mighty to keep. Grace like an ocean, boundless and deep. Folks, the Lord wants us tonight not to wait till tomorrow or third Friday or Saturday. But folks, when the Lord comes along our way and blesses us with His presence, that is the time to take advantage of the visitation of the Lord and open up our hearts and say, Lord, I need You to minister to me. We read over in the book of John a very familiar story, and because of the length of it, we're not going to read every verse, and there are so many lessons to be found in the story of the death of Lazarus. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but they found themselves in a place that life brought heartache to Mary and Martha. Life brought some disappointments, and we'll just begin reading in chapter 11, verse 1. It says, there was a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know tonight that the Lord had a very deep affection for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They had a special place in His heart. And you know tonight, we wouldn't be wrong in saying that each and every one of us have a special place in God's heart. You know tonight that even when you are struggling spiritually, or you are going through a time of life that it feels like, and understand feeling now, it feels like all you can do is put one foot in front of the other, the Lord has a special love for each and every one of us tonight. And if you ever feel unloved, let's just put the devil in his place tonight. The Lord loves you. And He cares about you. But Martha and Mary, they sent a message to Jesus. And I don't want to do an injustice to the scripture to draw out too strong of a parallel, but I will say there's a lesson here. Have you ever had someone else bring a message to you and it was easier to say no because it wasn't the person themselves? Mary and Martha, because of God, Jesus' love for them, I don't know how it would have changed this story if Mary and Martha would have come themselves and said, Lord, we need You. Now, they were probably at home taking care of Lazarus, but I wonder, could not have one of them come? Do you know tonight that if we want to get help to our soul, it is going to come through direct contact, and we'll find it later on in the story. It's going to come from making direct contact with Jesus Christ. The Lord told them, He said, well, He took the message, but He was busy. He knew what the outcome was going to be down the road. But yet, I wonder this morning, if or tonight, when we say, Lord, we want to have a revival meeting. Sometimes people have, and I'm not saying that here at Guthrie, but I know sometimes having a revival meeting is to fulfill a quota. We have this many camp meetings or this many revival meetings, and it's that time, so let's do it. But true revival comes from the presence of God.
Yes,
and there was a need that they had, and they sent a message, but it didn't get met right away. And it brought greater heartache. Well, let's call the minister. You think it's the minister that brings revival? It's not. It's the presence of God, folks. If you want revival, if we want revival, and I have been praying for it, Lord, we need your presence as never before. Folks, we are living in some difficult times. The enemy is working so hard, not only on the young people, he's working hard on all of us. And we need those special visitations of the Lord when he comes by and he stirs in our midst and renews us. And I just wonder sometimes if we just send a message, okay, minister's coming now, we're going to have revival and we'll just wait, and if it's convenient, we'll make it to service. If something else comes up, we might not. And at the end of the meeting, Sunday afternoon, revival's come and gone. And then life goes on. But do you know that I have found that when we come into the presence of the Lord, that there are changes that take place. And while a meeting ends, and while people go home, and while we go back to some of the same situations of life, when we have come into the presence of the Lord, it makes a change in me. So I would just ask us, do you need to come into the presence of the Lord tonight? You see, true revival is accompanied with desperation before God. You know, used to, and I, if Brother Gordon were here, he would probably share the story with me before service started. He reminded me of this almost every time I saw Brother Gordon. He reminded me, he said, Brother Michael, he said, your dad and I went down and prayed at Monarch one night together, and we got in the chiggers. But we were praying for the Spirit of the Lord to bless the service that night. He said, you know what? He said, the Lord came down in that service. And my response usually was, well, Brother Gordon, we need to get in some more chiggers then, because we are in need of being in the and under the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. Tonight, I believe that true revival is going to come when situations are strong enough and bad enough, and we are desperate enough to recognize, Lord, we need your presence. Lord, I need you to touch my life. Lord, there are situations and I don't even know what to do about it, but Lord, we need you to work. Do you know the Lord desires to work tonight? But it's not going to come even by sharing all of your problems with someone else. Because there are times you can unload on someone and walk away thinking they didn't get it. And they didn't give me the answer to my problem. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble tonight, but the ministers don't have all the answers to your problem. But I'll tell you what we do have tonight. We can point you to one that can minister to the needs in your life like nobody else can. And if you think that this one's let me down and this one hasn't given me what I needed, I want to challenge us tonight individually and as a people to get our eyes on Jesus Christ like never before, because he's the one that can make a difference in our life. And if we have been trying to just look to this one and that one to kind of keep us going, the Lord wants to minister to us individually. And so then I don't want to just send a message to the Lord that, Lord, there's this need. I want to go myself and come into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a problem. I'm needy before you. In verse 17, and we're skipping through a lot of this. You're familiar with the story. Jesus received the message and he knew that Lazarus died. In verse 17, Jesus came, when he came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs or 2 miles away. He was just 2 miles away. 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Now you can read that still. I notice it's in italics, which means the translators added it. She sat still or quietly in the house, or she sat still in the house. In other words, she didn't leave the house. Have you ever been in the place of Mary when the presence of the Lord was coming and you were so tired and so weary, so disappointed, whatever the case might be, that you just sat still? And you listen to others, you watch what others are doing, you listen to people testify about victory, but you're so worn out, grieving, disappointed, just tired spiritually. You all know that saints get tired spiritually sometimes. Yeah. Doesn't mean you fail God. It's part of life. But the Lord wants it to be just as much part of life that we find a place of revival. That, Lord, I've settled down and I'm weary. You know how I cannot even express how many times the Lord has come my way when I was tired. And He reached out and He made contact with me and made a change in my life. You know, that's what the Lord came to do. But Mary, she just sat still. She didn't move. Have you ever been in services when the Spirit of the Lord was talking and you knew that the Holy Spirit was there and you just sat still? Maybe someone else you saw received a blessing, but you were just almost glued. I'm too tired. Maybe I'm not quite sure that anything can even change. Folks, we serve a Savior tonight that can make miraculous changes in our life. And if we don't believe that, we might as well pack our bags and go home. There is a Savior that can still work miraculous changes, but we're going to have to finally do as Martha. After the message was sent, we would do better just go directly. But when she knew the Lord had come, she got up and quickly went out to meet him. And when she went out to talk to him, she expressed her disappointment. She said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I want us to take note of what she said in verse 22. She said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it unto thee. Do we still believe that tonight? Do we still believe that, Lord, this is an impossible situation? We're talking about death. We have an expression that we use, as long as there's life, there's hope. As long as there's breath, there's hope. But once they stop breathing, we say, okay, it's finished. Nothing's going to change now. But you know, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. They said it's impossible, Lord, if you would have been here. But yet, Lord, I still know that whatever you ask God to do, He's going to do. Tonight, the Lord can still do what we need Him to do in our life to have spiritual victory. But sometimes I fear that we have not because we ask not. We are not, if we're not seeking God for the needs that are in our life, there are people that have had the same problem year after year after year. I don't believe it has to stay that way. There is a God that when we are willing to come to the Lord, He is willing and ready to make a change in us. But we have to have the desire for it. So the Lord's coming, I'm going to get up and go. The title of the message, you can just see it written up there. On this invisible board up here. The Master is come. And it's down here in a few verses. The Master is come. When the Master is come, folks, it will bring forth a change in our life if we will get out of the house. But when the Lord is dealing and the Lord reveals a need, it's easier right among us. Isn't it easier to stay in our seats? And we can say, Lord, I'll pray when I get home. Or we say, Lord, I want you to work in this. But folks, when the Lord talks to us and the Lord comes by our way, that is the time to take advantage and say, the Lord has come. I want to come into His presence that I might be changed. Because I still believe that whatever Jesus asks, the Father will do. Yeah. I'm reminded and so challenged and encouraged when we were in Tanzania last month. There was a young woman, 17 years old, name was Mictalita, and she was possessed with evil spirits. Her grandfather was into witchcraft. And it is their purpose and desire to pass along these evil spirits into their children or grandchildren if they can. And she was possessed with evil spirits, and she was not able to stay in high school anymore. She was she was 17 years old. She had to leave school. And she was out wandering the streets at night, sleeping on the streets. Her family literally tried to tie or chain her in the house. And it was so bad that they were getting ready to take her to put her under the continuous care of a witch doctor to keep her there. And then they heard about a gospel meeting. And her mother was withstanding the rest of the family that wanted her to just be given over to the witch doctors. This mother brought her daughter, and they walked for many miles. I don't even know how many miles it was. They walked and walked and walked and came into the meeting. And when the opportunity was given, she came and knelt down, and the evil spirits took possession and began to exhibit in her life. Do you want to talk about desperate feeling? Lord, what do we do with this? But do you know tonight that there is still power in the name of Jesus Christ? And if you are not, you may say, well, I'm not possessed. Folks, people that are saved, we have needs in our life. And I want you to be encouraged to know it does not matter how big the need, there is still power in Jesus Christ. But we can't stay at home. If that young lady or her mother would have stayed at home, for all, most likely she would still be possessed today. But you know that young woman is in her right mind tonight? Amen. Because that evil spirit, and I won't get too graphic, but when she was on the ground, flailing with strength and with power, and screams emanating from the depth of her spirit, calling on the, we were ministers, we surrounded her, calling on the name of Jesus, and it didn't just happen instantly. It took about 2 sessions of intensive prayer, but Jesus came through. And she came to her right mind, and she said, I want to go back to secondary school. And she sat there and visited. A week later, made contact with them, wanted to know. We had Brother Peter call and find out how she was, and her mother said, she's in her right mind, she's doing really good. Do you know how that happened? It wasn't man, it was the power of God, because the presence of the Lord was there. And tonight we look at some situations that might be in our life, and we say, it's just impossible. It is not impossible tonight. You come into the presence of Jesus Christ, and He can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Jesus can do for you what the ministry cannot do for you. Jesus can do for you what your husband and wife cannot do for you. Young people, Jesus can do for you what your parents cannot do for you. There is power in the name of Jesus. So when the Lord, when the Master comes, I don't want to be sitting in the house. I want to get up with my knees and get up and fall down before Him and entreat Him to be moved to minister to the needs in my life. And that is when true revival starts. Martha, in all her questioning, it came down to it that, Lord, yes, I do believe that You are the Son of God. But there was conflict going on. And you know, tonight, I'll just have to say, I hope it doesn't despiritualize us too much to have conflict sometimes. Because the devil is working so hard to erode our faith. individually and as a people. Lord, inspire our faith tonight. Amen. You need help in your soul, it is possible. You need a divine miracle and you've been holding on to an attitude, the Lord can give you deliverance tonight. But if you sit in your seat, you're going to go home with the same attitude. If there's a place that maybe you're just tired and you're worn out and you're weary of life, the Lord wants to come and meet with you and re-inspire and renew the joy of salvation in your life. Maybe you never lost salvation, but you know, sometimes our joy gets a hole in it. And we need to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to plug the hole and I need to be filled back up. What about those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Remember that Jesus had died. They had reason to be discouraged. You may say, Brother Michael, you don't know the things that are in my life. I don't. You know what we do know tonight? Don't we? You know that pronoun, we? What we know is that the Lord can do what I cannot do and what you cannot do. They had reason to be discouraged, and they walked away from Jerusalem. They walked away from fellowship. Take note, it is a trick of the devil, folks. When you get hurt or you get worn out, the devil will try to isolate you from God's people. Because when you get isolated, he knows he has even more doors open to work in your life. But yet, when they're in their disappointment, all their hopes and their dreams, Jesus is dead now. And they were walking away from Jerusalem, and then this man came walking down the road. And he began talking to them, from in opening up the scripture from Moses going forward, the prophecies of Christ. And he was going to go a different way. And they said, no, would you please stay with us? And they sat down, and Jesus took bread, and he broke it. He prayed. Then he disappeared. And they got up and they looked at one another and they knew something had changed. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. He's not dead. We don't have to keep going that direction. And it said they turned around and they went back to Jerusalem and they told the disciples that we have seen the Lord. He is risen indeed. Aren't you thankful for a resurrected Lord tonight? Aren't you thankful that Jesus is not dead? That means the spiritual needs that we have, whether we're worn out or tired or struggling, or there's been something that has a hold in your life, the difference is going to be the presence of the Lord Jesus. The Master is come. Verse 28, it said, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, and she told her secretly, she said, the Master's come. And he calleth for thee. You know what beautiful words those are when you're in sorrow and struggling spiritually to know that the Master's come. Tonight, it's not the preaching. It's the presence of the Lord. The Master's come. He's come and he wants to minister. And he wants to heal. And he wants to renew. And he wants to bind up that which is broken. And he wants to give, the scripture says, beauty for what? For ashes. Where there's grieving. Lord, I need you. The Spirit of the Lord wants to come in and bring that revival among us. You know, when they later on down in this passage, they came and Mary went out to see the Lord. And it said she fell down at his feet. And she also said, Lord, if you would have been here. And then she began to weep. And others around were weeping. And you know what Jesus did? Verse 35, one of the first verses that children learn because it's short. But it's so powerful. It says, Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because he was touched and he was moved with the feeling of the infirmities of those that he was watching. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was capable of. Do you know tonight, to the saint and sinner alike, the Lord weeps when you weep. But I am so thankful that Jesus came to dry up our tears tonight. I'm so thankful He did not leave us in this condition, but He wept, and He does understand tonight. He understands why we feel like we do. He understands the struggles. He understands the things that you might not be able to tell anybody else, and you've been carrying it. The Lord knows those things, and He's weeping with you. But the story didn't end there either. But I will say, I believe revival also begins with tears. That, Lord, I'm desperate. I'm desperate. And I will just say that there are times that we cannot always pinpoint what our need is. Sometimes we can. But I am thankful the Lord knows exactly the needs that we have in our spirit tonight. We read on in verse 32. Let's move down to 34. Jesus asked, He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And I was challenged. The Lord said, "Where did you lay him?" Do you know why they were crying? Why they were weeping? It was because their brother was dead. Sometimes people come to the altar with a general desire to draw closer to the Lord. And that's a good desire. And if that's what it is, then that's what it should be. But you know, sometimes you will find that when you talk with people, that what they say at the first really isn't the crux of the problem. Have you ever been there? Someone asks something, you kind of give one response, and it's not that you're being untruthful, but you're not ready and willing to expose what maybe really brought you down. Jesus said, "Take me. Show me where you laid him." And I believe tonight that when we start thinking and considering and praying for revival, that we are going to have to be willing to take the Lord to the place that is the source of our problem if we know what it is. Lord, I need more grace. What do you need more grace in? What is it that's causing you? What is the crux of the problem? Because, Lord, we can say, "I just need you to touch me." But what do we need God to do tonight? And I believe sometimes we are not amongst God's people. I believe that sometimes there are victories that are not being gained because people are not taking the Lord to the place where we lay them. Lord, this is the place. This is the tomb. This is the thing that's causing the problem. And I know I'm not feeling this. I know I have it. But Lord, when it comes down to it, this is really what I'm struggling with. Sometimes people don't share that because they're ashamed. But do you know tonight that things that might cause you shame or you might not want to share, it's common to man. It's common to man. So are we willing tonight to open up our heart in the presence of the Lord because the Master has come? And are we willing to take His hand? You know, like a little child comes when they want to show you something, they take your fingers and they start pulling you. And they can't talk, but they know how to get there, and they take your fingers and they pull you to show you something. I wonder tonight if there's anyone that's willing and ready, because the Master has come, to take the hand of the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm ready to go to that place that's caused me so much pain. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to cover it up anymore. But Lord, this is the place." Because when they got to the tomb, remember what Jesus said? He said, "Roll the stone away." Couldn't have Jesus done that himself? Why did he tell them to roll the stone away? It was because they had a part to play. And if we want the Lord to work in our life, there are some stones that we need to personally roll away. If there are things in our life that we know are not conducive to holy living, roll the stone away. Remove the hindrances in your life, and then the way is open up. The Lord will know you're sincere about this thing. And then Jesus spoke, and he said, he prayed, and then he said, "Lazarus, come forth. And you know the end of the story, don't you? Lazarus came forth. I wonder tonight how many need that refreshing because of the presence of the Lord. You know, that's where it comes from. It comes from His presence. Are we willing then to do as Zacchaeus? When the Master came, he didn't care what people thought of Him. I'll climb a tree. And this was a rich man. You know, maybe you think of this rich man supposed to have some dignity. I will climb a tree, but the Master is come. The man that had palsy and his friends, they came and the Master was there. And they said, we've got to get to Him. And so they opened up the roof and lowered Him down into the house. The blind men that were there and they heard the ruckus coming down the road. And they said, what's going on? And they said, Jesus is coming. In other words, the Master's here. He's come. And they began to cry out and they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. When they cried out to the Lord stopped. And He asked Him, He said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that we would receive our sight. And Jesus gave them their sight. Scripture says in Revelation 3:20, says, behold, Jesus speaking, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In other words, the Master's here. I've come with all of my power and all of my ability, but I'm not going to open up the door because that's your decision. Tonight, if your heart's heavy, if you're worn out, if you need renewal, if you need a change in your life, the Master is here and He will work when we take Him by the hand and take Him to the place of our problem and we roll the stone away. The Lord Jesus will work a miracle in our life. Amen. Mm-hmm.